We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Blue Wire. After you finish listening to this awesome Blue Wire podcast, make sure you check out the other pods in our Blue Wire family. Okay, I know, you're probably wondering, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. Go to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and search Blue Wire. Ta-da! They will all be there, so have fun listening.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know. Listeners, since you don't have a visual, let me paint the picture for you. I am currently giving Mason Ginsburg a virtual and very real middle finger in honor of Anthony Davis sharing his feelings with a certain fan member. Mason, I'm flipping you off.
Does that mean do I get the $15,000 that you're about to be fined then?
Did the fan get $15,000?
No, but
the fan got might get banned for life. So maybe you can be banned from life from this podcast.
that would actually make a lot of people happy, I think. So don't give anyone any ideas. So, but thank you. I am you cannot see how offended I am right now, but just know that I am very, very deeply offended by your gesture.
On a scale from 1 to watching paint dry, how much do you care about the Anthony Davis and his whole finger fiasco?
Oh God, none at all. The only time I even started to care was I think if anyone's learned anything from this season, given what's happened in other NBA arenas over the past couple months, rushing to conclusions about players' instant reactions to stuff like this is dumb. It just is. And even if AD was completely in the wrong and the fan just said something stupid but not that stupid, and AD probably went – I mean, maybe they go too far. It was just really dumb to see. People just using their bias against AD, which exists because of all the stuff that's happened already this season, to perpetuate some sort of additional wrongdoing by him, which, again, he shouldn't have done it, but really who gives a shit? I mean, as long as it should be more about whatever the fan did to provoke it and hoping that it wasn't too serious.
Yeah, I never bought the argument that, just because these players make tons of millions of dollars that the fans have the right to treat them crappily, or, you know, they have the right to be berated and that kind of stuff. I never bought that idea. Just because they make a lot of money doesn't mean you can treat them like subhumans.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of disgusting that anyone would think that, but yeah, I mean, totally agree.
Cool. So yeah.
No, that's great, out of the way.
Great stuff about Anthony Davis. Now that's out of the way, let's move on to something more exciting. And, you know, if losing could be exciting, we're talking about the tank race, the great tank war of 2019, the Zion Zumba dance. I don't know. I couldn't come up with a word.
What?
What's a fun event that starts with Z? I can't.
That'd be pretty hilarious, though.
But yes, the great tank war. Mason, have you been paying attention? I'm gonna, even if you haven't, you're gonna be tonight's de facto expert on the tank war. What is going on in this wild league at the bottom of it?
So, I'm not the expert. I will defer to alternate Bourbon Street Shots member Ryan Hebert for this, because he's been all over it. If you don't follow him on Twitter, I would say follow him in the same way you followed Jason when he was doing all of his magic number counts by the day last year, which was, I mean, much more fun, obviously, because it meant playoffs. But he's been all over it, and it's kind of a mess right now. I mean, we've got four teams within a half game of each other. You've got Atlanta sitting in the fifth spot, I think pretty comfortably. They're 2.5 games worse, so I think that's pretty locked. But you've got Memphis, Dallas, New Orleans, and Washington all within a half game of each other, with some pretty interesting schedules for for each team. And so it's the one thing to watch this year at this point that's at least moderately interesting, apart from any of the young guys you think makes sense to pay attention to. But yeah, I mean, this game against Phoenix tomorrow night, have you seen who's not playing?
Devin Booker.
Everyone's
Okay, not. Never mind.
Everyone.
I was going to make a joke about how it doesn't matter because Devin Booker's not a winning player, but, you know, that would have been a poor joke, and that's not true.
I mean, so the Grizzlies and Mavs in particular are really interesting because, for one, they play each other twice. So you can take this a lot of different ways. You can try to I think right now maybe the worst scenario would be maybe hedging and them both winning a game. But that's only if you think that the Pelicans will win 1-2. And it kind of feels like the Pelicans might sneak a game, especially against the Suns team coming up. But Grizzlies got the Mavs in each of the next two games, then the Pistons and the Warriors. The Pelicans also have a game remaining against the Warriors. The Mavs have the Suns and the Spurs, and the Spurs are the last game of the season. And we know what Pop likes to do towards down the stretch in terms of resting. I haven't looked and see what the playoff implications are for them, but there's a lot of moving parts. And I think the fact that the Grizzlies and Mavericks both play twice make this super interesting, because there's a ton of possible outcomes here. None of which I feel like I have to say this, result in the Pelicans having a good chance at the number one pick. it apparently seems like people are pushing out these tankathon simulators and like, hey, look, the Pelicans are at the top, which is like not that easy to get to, but people are still sharing it. And like, it's math, people. And I feel like I'm speaking to a minority right now. The Pelicans do not have a very good chance of.
You are speaking to a minority.
Touche, sir. That was better than your Zion Zumba joke, but yeah, I mean, they've got a 23.5% chance right now of jumping into the top four. They've got a 5.3% chance of getting the number one pick, and that's if they hold at 8 where they are right now. The most that moves to is about 35% in the top four and 8.3% overall. So it's really not as much about the additional odds to get the first pick. I mean, that's nice, but I'd say moving from, you know, a little worse than a 1-4 chance to better than a 1-3 chance at jumping into the top four is probably a pretty big deal, I think, in the grand scheme of things. So it's in their best interest to lose, as we all know, but given the stakes with Memphis and Dallas, I mean, I think it's even more interesting.
So I have a lot of comments. My first comment is in regards to the Tankathon screenshots. First of all, stop. Those things are so annoying. It's like, okay, yeah, you played around on Tankathon and you posted a screenshot of a favorable outcome. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah, you want Zion Williamson? So do I. What is that? Like, hey, guys, give me free likes and retweets, please. Cool. In any case, that being said, Memphis and Dallas are both interesting situations because they have picks that can or can't convey depending on where they end up. And I think Dallas obviously wants to end up in a situation where they keep their pick. And I think their pick is top five protected, I believe. I think Atlanta has that all but locked down. You know, Atlanta sitting at the fifth spot with 29 wins. Dallas is at the tied with Memphis at the sixth spot with 31 wins. So, like, never say never. It can still happen. But I think Atlanta, the pick'em base Atlanta. Now, that being said, Memphis, I think, is in a situation where they want their pick to convey. They don't. I think if I'm Memphis, I'd rather just go ahead and get this over with rather than drag this out. Yes or no?
So Memphis's pick is top eight protected, right? Right.
So they would have to get in the nine spot.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I think so. I think you sell the Dallas pick short, though. I mean, they've got a – right now they got a 1-3 shot to jump into the top four. So, I mean, they
– Oh, you're right. Actually, I was just looking straight from the slotting. I didn't even think about the percentages. You were correct. Dallas actually has – you know, Dallas is – their best incentive is to lose. You're correct about that.
Yeah. But it's an interesting point about Memphis. If they want to just kind of get it over with and send the pick, it would kind of like kind of tell a little bit about what they plan to do for next year. And I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what they should do. And I think they know it too. You know, totally hit the reset button. They've got Jaren Jackson, who looked pretty damn good in his first year.
They can still get assets for Mike Conley. Like, you know, they, yep. They can feasibly still do like a draft night trade and still end up with a first round pick in this year's draft. It could be Utah. You know, Utah's done draft night trade for a point guard previously with Ricky Rubio, and Memphis could still end up with assets, and you know, they could hand over their pick for this year or whatever and then fully commit to bottoming out. I don't know. It's an interesting situation. I think you can argue for both sides of that.
Yeah, it is. And I think, I mean, what looking at the remaining schedules, I mean, it looks – I maybe ideal would be if the Mavs somehow win both those games against the Grizzlies and then the Grizzlies win their final two against the Pistons and Warriors. But that's – I think that's a pipe dream. And your points are well taken. And there's a good argument to be made that Dallas is going to just do whatever they can to lose these last few games. And Memphis, if they want to make sure that pick conveys, just sneak out of the bottom eight and win a couple games, because I don't think – I mean, I'll be interested to see how New Orleans handles these last three. I'm pretty sure that AD's played his last game, but at what point – they've got to shut Randle down at some point, right? He's in a sentence I didn't think I'd say a couple months ago, he's really doing too much to help the Pelicans win recently.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think Randle is just a machine that's never, ever going to stop. So he's just going to keep balling from here on out until the Pelicans franchise collapses. but I do think if I'm New Orleans, I want Memphis to win as much as possible because I want the Boston trade package to look
also a good point. Yep.
Enticing, you know, this summer. And, you know, there's an argument that there's more value to be had in a future Memphis pick, but mm-hmm. I think it gives the Pelicans a little bit more creativity if they have two picks, like, you know, their own that's like top seven, top six, and then you're getting the ninth pick with Memphis. And then, you know, you can do a little more. So it's interesting. Moving on, but still talking about these pick percentages, I saw you tweet today. It was a table. And the table was basically a tally of each team's percentage that they're going to get the number one overall pick compared to the percentage if they would trade the number one overall pick for Anthony Davis. And you kind of tallied that up, reaching to a 21% chance that the Pelicans might end up with the number one overall pick and or Zion Williamson. Basically, the point of that was to say that out of any singular team, the Pelicans may have the single best odds at landing Zion Williamson. Do you feel confident behind your math? I mean, not like in the process, but like, do you feel confident like this logic is sound?
I think so, and so it's shout out to Carter Rodriguez of the Chase Down. He started kind of tweeting about this idea earlier today, that the notion that the Pelicans have the best chance of any team of landing Zion just because of the whole Anthony Davis trade factor. And I thought it was a good point. And the cool thing about it is that you can quantify it based on lottery odds, and it's going to be dynamics. It's going to change every day when teams win and lose until the end of the season. But, and ultimately when the lottery is settled, we'll know for sure. But yeah, I mean, you've got every team and where they stack up in terms of the lottery, and you can kind of put the questionable part is putting odds against every team, and if we how likely the team is to be interested in trading their number one pick for Anthony Davis, and that's obviously a wide range. But I think you can slice it a few different ways, and ultimately comes out to something around 20-25% when you think about New York and the Lakers being more likely to trade it for AD. You obviously have New Orleans' own 5% or so to get the first pick. And then other wild card teams like Philly gets Sacramento's pick if it lands number one. And so they may be in more of a win now mode. And they definitely are in a win now mode. And you could probably sell them on the fact that they should trade that pick for AD. And then there's other random teams like the Bulls or the Wizards or Dallas that, you know, probably not something around 10% chance maybe, but still you add it all up and it seems like around a 1-5 to 1-4 shot of the Pelicans getting AD, getting Zion, because that's not great, obviously, but it's still better than any other team by itself, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're telling me I have a better than a roll of die chance of getting Zion Williamson. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could tweak the numbers a little bit and increase them and say you have an even more significant chance of getting a top two pick for all you John Morant fans out there.
Yep. True. You could even bumps up probably a little bit if you, a lot of people, we were having that conversation today where people think that the Knicks trading it for AD is like more like I have it at 75% chance. Other people have it at like 99% or 100%. And so if you think that pick's as good as gone, if the Knicks get number one for AD, then likelihood goes up. So we'll see.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I have fun time streaming about Zion Williamson. So this is great fantasy fuel for sure.
It's what we got left.
I know, man. I mean, what is there to talk about these days? You have the draft, and then you have the Pelicans GM situation, which, by the way, we're going to cover in the second half of this podcast. So I think this is a good time to take a pause and shout out our sponsors.
All right, guys, we've got an announcement to make. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich slathering shave gel, and travel blade cover. You get all that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough with the cheap razors. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Harry's is fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3.
Welcome back. We're going to start this half of the podcast talking about the Pelicans GM search and some of the updates that have come this Thursday morning. So one of the perhaps most concrete pieces of news we've gotten in recent weeks about the Pelicans GM search came today, which was from Jeff Duncan. He tweeted out this morning, the Pelicans began conducting interviews for their vacant GM position at 9 a.m. this morning. Have confirmed the following candidates are on the list. Danny Ferry, David Griffin, Larry Harris, Trajan Langdon, Gerson Rosas, and Tommy Shepard. Jeff Duncan's tweet was later verified by Mark Stein of the New York Times, who tweeted basically the exact same thing, the exact same people. So the Pelicans interviews are officially on their way. Now, before I make a comment on what I think about the interviews and all of this, is there any name on that list that surprises you, Mason?
The only thing that was moderately surprising to me was the fact that, and this was later confirmed by Stein, because it was a question, as soon as I saw the list, the one question I had was, oh, Griffin's on there. Did he actually interview? Or is this just the list of people that the search firm identified? And like an hour or so later, Stein comes out and said, Griffin interviewed this morning. So pretty happy about that. It's interesting in that it shows that the Pelicans are thinking about this very holistically and have an open mindset, and that they're not looking for just like one structure. Because you know, we talked on our more recent podcast about Ferry being president of basketball operations and having a GM under him. Obviously, there's no way Griffin would go for that. On the flip side, if you had Griffin in that kind of position, there's no way Ferry's just going to stay on as a consultant or advisor or something like that. And so it's just good that they're keeping all options open. And, you know, so that was good to see. But otherwise, no. I mean, it was a good list. I was happy about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the strongest signal for having Griffin on the list is knowing David Griffin, he wants to be in a situation where he has full control and he has a large budget and he is the one that makes the decisions, right? So if they are truly entertaining a candidate like that and he has agreed to come to an interview thinking that, hey, I might be in a position to get this job, I think that signals at least a public culture change in which they're fully empowering a guy. They're going after a guy that they're going to fully empower. Not to say that wasn't the case necessarily with Dell Demps, but I think this move would make it more clear, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So the other news surrounding this list of names was, you know, Jeff Duncan wrote an article for NOLA.com basically expanding upon this list of names and how they came together. And the Pelicans hired a consultant by the name of Mike Ford, who was recommended to them by Adam Silver. And this is the same consultant that helped the Nets land Sean Marks. So he's produced some results before, and perhaps that would explain the affinity to Trajan Langdon that we've been hearing about. Now, I have a couple comments on this consultant part before I move on. First of all, Mike Ford is like the most generic, boring name ever. And you try to Google this guy, you can find nothing. Nothing about him, because his name is Mike Ford. And it's just like generic dude. You try to search, you'd search like Mike Ford NBA. And you get a basketball reference page. And you're like, okay, well, that's not him.
It's funny you said that, because I had a Mike Ford in my MBA class at UT. So there's any sort of acronym you want, there's a Mike Ford for it.
Yes. So it is extremely difficult to find who this Mike Ford fella is. And it's almost like you need a search firm to find the search firm. Like, come on. Like, who is this guy? Let me get some information. Second of all, I need to know who you are so I can find out how to get your job, because this sounds like a fun situation. You just tell NBA teams who to hire. Sounds great. Sounds like a plush deal. Moving on, the rest of the article detailed how the Pelicans were an attractive position considered league-wide, and how Phoenix is kind of a mess because they have high turnover and Minnesota isn't really great because they have high turnover, and Washington isn't great because they have to deal with John Wall and Bradley Beal's contract. Did you have, like, you know, when you first read that article, what were your some of your first thoughts?
It sounded a lot like someone from the Pelicans wrote it. I mean, just point blank. I mean, it says a lot of things that I feel, but it says a lot of things that I, or it says certain things way stronger than I feel them, and it says certain things that I don't really buy. But I don't want to dive too much in the weeds on it. But I mean, it's an enviable ownership situation. It puts everyone involved basically on this like pedestal, and it's great. I mean, if the league circles really view this situation like it's portrayed here, then great. But I think it's a little bit of overkill and maybe hyperbole. But yeah. So that's my high level thoughts.
Yeah, that was my first reaction too. I was like, I think I told you this word for word. I was like, I don't think there's a single original thought from Jeff Duncan in that article, outside that like snide remark on Dell Demps.
Yeah. Yep. There's the one.
It definitely reads like, hey, we need you to get out this information. By the way, make us look good. And, you know, I think that's just the way the business works. So you have to accept that. I mean, I think guys on Woj's level do the same thing. You see him do it all the time with front offices and players and agents that give him information are portrayed in a good fashion. And then those that withhold get the Woj hit pieces. And, you know, it's you scratch my back, I scratch my back type of deal. It's fine. You can't really complain about it. I do wish there was a little bit more information just regarding the timeline and how they want this thing to operate. But I wanted to comment. So, like, they said that interviews began today. That's the official word from the team.
I think Stein said it, too.
Stein said it, too. Everything I've heard tells me they've been a little bit more active than they've let on. And they didn't really start today. And it's possible. Now, it's very possible, like, today was, like, the official interviews and they brought all the candidates in. Or, you know, guys like David Griffin, like, today was his first day. But
come on, you've networked before. Last night was the cocktails and schmoozing.
Right. But I really do think everything that I've heard says that they've been talking before today. So we'll see. And I think because this process has been going on for a little bit longer than they seem to let on, and they've been a little bit more active than they seem to let on, I would not be surprised if by Monday morning, you know, there's an announcement of who the new GM is. Would you? You have the next couple of days to interview these guys. So let's say they interview three today, they're going to interview three tomorrow, and you have the weekend to think over it.
I mean, I think that's quick. I think next week is a reasonable estimate. Monday might be a little quick, but you know what? Anything specific, not the podcast, but more specifically you say on this damn thing, next day it happens. So I hesitate to disagree with you on this.
Well, here's another reason I would try to turn it around quicker than usual. Washington just opened up a spot, and there are reporters saying that Washington is going to be an attractive job simply because their owner, Ted Leonosis, how do you pronounce his last name? Anywho, their owner kept Ernie Grunfeld along for a very, very long time. Not that, you know, the Bensons didn't keep Demps along for a very long time, but, you know, Grunfeld was there for, what, 19 years? How many years was it now? 17?
Long time.
Very long time. Let's leave it at that. And so people think it's an attractive job, and it's in a good market, so to speak, East Coast, next to a lot of other big East Coast cities, all that kind of stuff. And the funniest thing, not the funniest, but like perhaps the most interesting thing that came out of that job opening is not the fact that, you know, their current interim guy, Tommy Shepard, is one of the candidates being interviewed with the Pelicans, but the fact that Tim Connelly, former Hornets/Pels, but I think it was Hornets at the time, assistant GM under Dell Demps, current president and GM of the Denver Nuggets, is considered a guy to look out for and going to be a candidate, and how the Wizards have centered around this guy. Tim Connelly, for those of you who don't know, is, you know, regarded pretty highly for building what he has built in Denver, but he just signed an extension this year. In fact, I think it was like the day after a few days after Dell Demps was fired. Which makes it a little bit bizarre that he's been considered for the Wizards job, because he's, you know, he's the GM for the number two seed in the West, and he just signed an extension. So, like, what is there to it? So, turns out that Tim Connelly is from the DC area. His family is from the DC area. His wife's from the DC area. Her family's from the DC area, and they have a lot of ties to that area. And that's what makes it an attractive gig. So, like, let's assume, you know, in the long shot that this does pan out, the Wizards do end up hiring Tim Connelly. Would you say the Nuggets then become the most attractive job in the NBA?
In terms of all the vacancies or in the NBA?
No, in terms of all the vacancies.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It's tough to say it's a perfect situation, because you're coming in. It's almost scary to come into a situation that's that good and realize that you can climb, obviously. They haven't had a ton of playoff success recently, and so just having playoff success would be an improvement. But you've got a long ways to fall. Even if you do succeed, a lot of people will attribute it to your predecessor. And so it's tough in that respect, but I mean – it's all about, I mean, a big part of it is people talk about the ownership situations in Phoenix and I mean, I'd rather be in Denver than in Phoenix. I mean, it's just, it depends on what you value. But I think in a vacuum, there's a lot of good life, a lot of things to like about the Denver spot.
Yeah. I mean, Jokic is there. You already have your superstar. You have some good young players, who can either develop into stars, or you can later, you know, flip for something else. I think Denver's a good spot. But I think my point of that long winding thing was that the Pelicans should hurry, just, you know, so other spots don't open up and some of the candidates that they want don't get poached. And those candidates include guys like Danny Ferry. Like, what if the Wizards came by and then they're like, hey, Danny Ferry, we will offer you this, this, and this. And then, you know, if the Pelicans were zeroed in on Danny Ferry and he's like, see ya, you know, you lost your chance. So close the deal while you still have an opportunity is what I'm trying to get at.
Is there No, I was going to say something so ridiculous. I'm not sure. There's no way to be true.
Say it. Own it.
All right. So what if Griffin isn't actually a candidate, in the sense that they know that he's not going to be the GM, they know he's not going to take the job, but he's doing the Pelicans a solid to kind of make the other candidates feel like it's a, you know, it's a good spot to be in. It's a good GM job. And is there any way that's true?
Is he doing the Pelicans a solid, who he owes nothing to, or is he doing Joel Myers a solid? Cause they're cool.
Yeah. That's where I'm going. And I have no information on this. I'm just totally spitballing. But, yeah, him and Joel host this show on Sirius XM all the time, and so they're buddies. And what if he's just doing it in solid?
I mean, I think it's a fun conspiracy theory. It's one of the more fun ones that I've heard
regarding
the situation.
I'll take that.
Yeah, we can speak it into existence if you want.
Yeah, I mean, we may as well try, since it's worked out so well in the past few podcasts. But But so, yeah, we'll see.
But to kind of go along those lines of thinking, when I looked at the list of candidates that they put out, only two of them really struck me as being guys who would be fit for the president of basketball operations position, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And I know, like, you know, from a fan perspective or an analyst perspective, it's so tough to really say, like, oh, you'd be a good candidate for that without having even, like, a tenth of the information that, you know, the actual hiring people have. But when you look at the list, you see Danny Ferry, you're like, okay, I would be comfortable with him in the present situation. And you see David Griffin, and you're like, okay, I'd be comfortable with him in the present situation. The rest of the list, it seems, are like guys who really aren't terribly experienced being the number one guy.
Yep. I mean, yep. Totally agree with that. So that's like, gets back to at least they're doing their due diligence on all fronts and keeping all options open, which I think is pretty cool.
Well, the point I wanted to get at there is like, what if there's like, what I wouldn't be surprised is happening is that, you know, there's like different levels of interviews going on where they're kind of gauging what they'd be okay with. And, you know, if a guy like you're interviewing a guy like Griffin, he says, you know, I want the president, I want him. And then you're like, okay, would you be comfortable having one of these other guys on the list under you as a GM? You know, if he says no, but then Ferry says yes, that could be a deciding factor. And then you go on to like some of those other guys and you're like, hey, would you be okay working under a president of basketball operations that is an actual president of basketball operations? You know, you own the day-to-day, but he has final sign-off. And if someone like, you know, if someone says no, then they move on to the next. You know what I mean? Like, what if they're kind of like fleshing that out and they're kind of working together to see who they can pair together?
It's an interesting theory. If that actually was how it played out and they decided to go with Ferry plus like Langdon over just Griffin, I don't know how I would I guess I don't know enough about the interview process to know if it was the right move, would have been the right move or not. But I think that's really interesting. Like, how would you feel if that was the case? If you had the option of Griffin and just Griffin or Ferry with Langdon under him, what would you do?
I would 100% be behind Ferry plus Langdon. I'd rather two great minds than one.
That's the point. Yep.
Power than consolidate it.
Yeah, and because like in a vacuum, I think I like Griffin a little bit more than Ferry, but I think your point about two minds better than one is really, as long as you can only have one person in charge, obviously, because yeah, that can get tricky. But I think having two minds over one, I'm a big believer in diversity of thought, and you know that's I think that's the way to really think differently and outside the box and make sure you're reaching the best decision as a team. So
yeah, and I think, you know, each guy brings different things to the table, and you look at some of these guys' current setups like Gerson Rosas in Houston, where Maury's the president, right? He's the executive vice president and he handles the player development stuff, he handles the scouting stuff, and then Maury handles like the other stuff. So you're kind of delegating tasks and duties amongst the two, and I think a Ferry Langdon combo would be one of the better ones in the league just from a brain trust standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I line with that.
Cool. So I have my money on Monday. I need you to pick a date. You can't pick Jeff Duncan's date, Jeff Duncan said this can happen by the start of Jazz Fest, which is too many weeks. And I think this will happen at the latest when the season ends. So that's your window between Monday and the season ends. And you can pick the season ends, but you got to pick a date between then. Like tomorrow. I don't care.
Well, the season ends. Does it end Sunday or is it? No, that's
no,
that's
no. The game for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, my window is like 2 days after what you said.
A little.
So well, yeah, I'll take.
Let me. So you have Tuesday the 9th, yeah, which is the Warriors game. It's like 2 days. Yep, you were right.
I'll take Wednesday the 10th then.
Okay, fair enough. That's probably time as any.
It's like our season just ended. We sucked. Everything went wrong, and now it's just very next day, it's time to flip the script.
I think they do it before the season ends, and then you could do the end of season presser with the new guy. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Cool. I think, you know, this would be a good place to end the podcast as well.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for listening, guys.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.